Radio Ray RTE, The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Petrichor, that's the smell that I talked about, according to Tom. He says, from the Greek petra, stone, and ichor, which is from Greek mythology, the fluid that flows in the veins of immortals. Reminds me of rainy summer childhood in Dublin too. Thanks for that, Tom. Petrichor, P-E-T-R-I-C-H-O-R. I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly. Now, a 19-metre long dead fin whale was washed up. You would have seen the pictures in the papers. It's on a beach near Ballynaskellig. It's become a bit of an attraction down there for tourists and locals. However, as you would imagine, as the days go on, their gargantuan mammal will start to decompose, and what happens next will be interesting. Sightings officer of the Irish Whale and Dolphin Group, Padraig Hooley, joins me now on the line. How are you doing, Padraig?
Hey, Ray. How are things?
Good to talk to you. Yeah. Is this the biggest ever or nearly the biggest ever or not?
Well, it's one of the bigger fin whales that we've had. We've recorded as stranded in Irish waters. But yeah, they can get bigger. They can get up to 25, 26, maybe 27 metres. But yeah, this is still within the adult length range of a fin whale, which is the second largest member of the whale family. So ergo, it's the second largest, you know, animal on the planet, full stop.
Yeah, and it died at sea and then was washed up, according to reports.
It would have done, yeah. It looks like it's fairly, you know, the decomposition has started. It's in poor enough condition, so it's probably dead a couple of weeks at this stage.
Mm. And should people be going down to have a look at it? I believe there's traffic jams.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I mean, when we have strandings of whales, yeah, we always encourage family members and friends, especially to bring little ones down. I mean, it is probably a once in a lifetime opportunity for members of the public to see the second largest animal on the planet. I mean, obviously, as the days go on and the you know, the olfactory senses are challenged, you know, even more, that may not be possible, or it may be a little bit more difficult, because it is going to start to stink. But certainly, you know, it's not an opportunity that arises too often. So yeah, get down there. Obviously, be careful and you know, don't go sort of crossing private property and just make sure it's safe. But there's no real reason at this stage why people shouldn't go and visit it.
Would the smell be unmanageable? Would it be that bad?
That depends on how sensitive your nose is and how close you want to get to it. I mean, you find people in these situations doing all sorts of really bizarre things, like, you know, getting within inches and, you know, poking it and sticking their nose in carcasses. You don't want to do that.
No.
We don't know what this animal died of, you know. So with any dead mammal, you know, you would treat it with a certain degree of respect. You know, you shouldn't touch it. You should probably wear a pair of latex gloves or something to put a little bit of distance between yourself and contact with the skin, because, you know, as you said, we don't know what it died of. It probably died of something quite natural, but, you know, best not to touch it. But yeah, they do stink, and as it starts to putrefy, you know, that's when the smell will get quite intense. But I would imagine if you're, you know, a couple of hundred yards away, you'd still smell it, you know.
And that picture was great. It was Frances O'Hare, who's a holidaymaker, and she stood beside it to give it scale. And that's oftentimes, because I was with you years and years ago going out taking pictures, and we got a picture of a fin whale, but it just looked like a small fish because there was no scale to it. There was no boat beside it or human being, but that was a huge thing. Now, I read somewhere that there may be an explosion. Is that correct?
Well, what could happen is, you know, like if you had a spot or a zit or a bad pustule or something like that, and you lanced it. Sorry, but I know this is awful stuff to discuss, but you could have sort of an eruption, if you like. And this is the same inside this. You know, you've got all the bacteria building up, and they're all releasing gases. Now, you know, they'll vent out naturally through the body itself, so you're not going to get a big explosion. I guess lots of people have seen the quite almost humorous videos on YouTube of exploding whales, but they're usually precipitated by somebody in a whaling station or somebody who's doing research on the whale sticking a long flensing knife into the internal organs of the whale, like puncturing the surface and then going into the organs. And of course, that's what precipitates this eruption, where all the gases all of a sudden have an exit point, and they're all focused towards this one exit point, and of course the entire body explodes. So, I mean, it's fairly regular, it does happen. But if the carcass is just left alone, those gases will probably just seep out naturally. Okay. And of course, that's where the smell is coming from.
And Padraig, is it any use to you now for your research?
As the Irish Whale and Dolphin Club, yeah, we have a scheme that's funded by the National Parks and Wildlife Service. It's called the Deep Diving and Rare Species Investigative Programme. What we really need for that, though, are fresh specimens. And the problem with this specimen is that it's not fresh. It's certainly not fresh enough to carry out a post-mortem examination, which would give us the cause of death of this whale. So you really do need an animal that's just kind of maybe life-stranded and then died. They would be really good specimens. Okay. But again, this is all about logistics. The sheer size of this animal alone makes it almost impossible to carry out an actual, if you like, a clinical post-mortem examination.
And then the logistics of then getting rid of it, or will the skeleton remain and will it be used? Didn't Kill Britain, haven't they got a skeleton down there from a beached whale years ago?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that was a big process, and it's a big job. It's an expensive job, requires lots of manpower and lots of buy-in from the local community if that's what's decided. But, you know, that's a project that takes, you know, a year, 2 years.
Right.
To, you know, you would need to flense the animal, get all the skin, all the blubber, all the muscle off it, remove all the internal organs, and then bury it in a big, long pit that would be whatever, you know, 20-metre pit, probably use the likes of horse manure. That's to get the microbial activity going, and then just basically bury it for 2 years.
Right.
And what you could potentially get at the end of it would be this fantastic skeleton. So it's a great opportunity, ticks lots of boxes, the education, the conservation, the local tourism box. But again, there's a lot of logistical issues with that. And one of the biggest issues here is access to the site. You'll have seen on the news the people walking down a narrow path to get down to it. So you can't actually get equipment to this site that you would need to get that process going. So I think it's going to be a real interesting one to see what way, you know, Kerry, the engineers in Kerry County Council decide. And, you know, there is a compelling case for just leaving it and letting Mother Nature run its course.
Final question, Padraig Hooley from the Irish Whale and Dolphin Group. Ambergris, is that how they pronounce it? Would there be any likelihood that there'd be a lump of that in this whale?
No, there wasn't. So it's ambergris. And ambergris is only found in the stomachs of sperm whales.
Uh-huh,
now, sperm whales are toothed whales, whereas the fin whale is a baleen whale. And just for your listeners, and you might kill me for this, Ray, your listeners are probably not aware that you photographed the first fin whale, the same species, with us back in 2003 in West Cork for the Wild Trials Programme.
Yeah.
And that fin whale was the first fin whale on the Irish fin whale catalogue. And not surprisingly, Ray, we called him Ray.
I didn't know that, Padraig. I actually didn't know that. I don't know what sort of emotions I'm feeling right now.
Number one on the catalogue, the Irish fin whale catalogue, is called Ray after you, because you were the one who photographed it on this photographic challenge.
Yeah, I did. Day five, I think, the end of it. Anyway, Padraig Hooley, great talking to you. Thanks so much, Padraig. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Ray.
Bye now. Bye.